The Supplication on Thursdays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who has taken away the shadowy night by His power and brought the sight-giving day through His mercy. He has clothed me in its brightness and given me its favor. O Allah, just as Thou hast spared me for this day, so also spare me for its likes. Bless the Prophet Muhammad and his household, and torment me not in it and in other nights and days by allowing me to commit unlawful acts and to clothe myself in sins. Provide me with its good, the good of all within it, and the good of everything after it, and turn away from me its evil, the evil of all within it, and the evil of everything after it. O Allah, by the protective compact of Islam, I seek mediation with Thee, and by the inviolability of the Quran, I rely upon Thee. By Muhammad, the Chosen, Allah bless him and his household, I seek intercession with Thee. So recognize my protective compact, by which I hope my need will be granted. O most merciful of the merciful, O Allah, decree for me on Thursday five things, which none embraces but Thy generosity, and none supports but Thy favors. Health through which I may have the strength to obey Thee. Worship by which I may deserve Thy plentiful reward. Plenty in my state through lawful provision. And that Thou makest me secure in the places of fear through Thy security. And placest me in Thy fortress against the striking of worries and sorrows. Bless Muhammad and his household. And make my seeking his mediation as an intercessor give profit on the day of resurrection. Surely, Thou art the most merciful of the merciful.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear brothers, dear sisters, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Salaamu Alaikum and welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. I invite you to listen to this episode. Today is Wednesday, 26th of the month of Rajab, 1445 of the Islamic lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 18th of Bahman, 1402 of the Islamic solar Hijri calendar, and the 7th of February, 2024 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. As usual, we'll listen to a verse from the Holy Quran for today. We choose verse 9 of chapter As-Saff.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره المشركون.
It is he who sent his messenger with guidance and the religion of truth to manifest it over all religion, although those who associate others with Allah dislike it.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
It is noteworthy that the final stage of such a spread to us will be realized upon the arrival of Imam Mahdi, may our souls be sacrifices to him, since the verse indicate that the great arrival. This is narrated in consecutively transmitted traditions that the triumph of the Islamic faith over other divine religions will realize upon Imam Mahdi's arrival. In this vein, it is narrated from the noble prophet, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his family, that as the earth will have been brimming over with injustice, justice will be administered the world over upon his arrival.
Let me introduce you to the Islamic Republic of Iran. This is the land of sacrifice. This is the land that a revolution would take place and shake the whole world. Not just in the year that it took place, 1979, but continues to send rumbles throughout the world. As for its enemies, it is like an earthquake which causes tsunamis. This is because the Islamic Republic of Iran stands against what had been the status quo political systems controlling and dividing the countries of the world between themselves. When the founder of the Islamic Republic and the leader of the revolution, Imam Khomeini, may peace be upon him, said not east nor west, he was introducing a whole new train of thought to the world. Iran would pay the price for not wanting to be subservient to the powers of the east nor west. Striving for independence in a colonial setting is not easy. From the very beginning, many Iranians were killed fighting for independence and trying to keep it. Assassinations took place by proxies of the superpowers, and no one was spared, from the most well-known politicians to the small store owner. People from all walks of life were targeted, men, women, and children. And if that wasn't enough, an 8-year war was launched against the Islamic Republic, which also failed to bring down the government, but took the lives of some 200,000 Iranians.
We're speaking about the Islamic Revolution of Iran. Before the victory of the Islamic Revolution, the dominant powers, through their propaganda and show of power, could convince the nations and the weak leaders that they could not confront them, and that any move to become independent of the superpowers was doomed to fail. The Islamic Revolution astonished the entire world through defeating the oppressive monarch, and then through its astonishing resistance against both the United States and the former Soviet Union, and through the resistance against the 8 years of Iraqi aggression that enjoyed the support of the superpowers of the world.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. In this visual, we shall be talking about the Islamic Revolution and its difference with other revolutions. The revolution that happened in Iran. Revolution which is a collective behavior and endangers lives and property requires backing and legitimacy. The permission for such a revolutionary act and its compatibility with religious law was issued by the revolution's leadership, who held the position of a religious authority. But it was also timely, since people's participation and dedication of their lives and property was unprecedented. The next characteristic that makes it different, that made it different with other revolution, was about the goals. The nature and goals of the Islamic revolution are a unique phenomenon that can be summarized in points. First, revival and bringing to life the Islamic laws and their implementation. Second, establishing social justice. Third, establishing an Islamic political system. And fourth, practical and cultural strengthening of society. Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayh states in this regard, "Our revolution relies on spirituality and God, and those who agree with us are those who agree with the line of Tawheed or monotheism."
In the month of Bahman, the month of Islamic Revolution, be with today's special.
There are some quotes about Islamic Revolution of Iran. Imam Khomeini, "When anyone studies a little or pays a little attention to the rules of Islamic government, Islamic politics, Islamic society, and Islamic economy, he will realize that Islam is a very political religion. Anyone who will say that religion is separate from politics is a fool. He does not know Islam or politics. I, on my part, have no worries about the revolution as it has found its path, is advancing, and is not dependent on any individual." One of the achievements of more than four decades of the Iranian Revolution is that the number of the poor decreased. The Iranian people lived in extremely poor conditions during the Pahlavi rule because the oil revenues were spent for revelries of the royal family and the courtiers and magnates who were in one way or another linked with the Shah and his masters in Washington. The Islamic Republic of Iran has attained great achievements in welfare services and development of cities and villages. Thus, Iran's rank got from 110 to 60 in the field of human development index. Therefore, after four decades of the victory of the Islamic Revolution of Iran and establishment of the Islamic Republic system, the welfare and life expectancy of the Iranians have increased while class gap has decreased. This has been evident in rural regions. While only 21% of villagers had a crust to drinking water before the Islamic Revolution, this figure has reached 81%. As for electricity in rural region, just 7% of villages had electricity. The Islamic Republic connected almost all villages to the power grid. On the other hand, having the greatest gas reservoirs in the world, merely 60,000 houses in Iran were connected to the gas grid, while 97% of cities and 81% of villages now enjoy this Allah-given bounty, and this trend continues.
Imam Khomeini, even though he was a man of high spirituality, he was also someone who was engaging in political discourse.
Sheikh Zaidus Salami.
He was someone who stood face to face with diplomats and explained to them how the Iranian country was falling to its plight by the Shah being the Vatan Furush that he was, by him meeting with delegates sent by Qatar who were indirectly threatening him with war, and how he had explained to them clearly that we are men of war. There is nothing that we are scared of. There are tens and thousands of young youth who have nothing other than love for martyrdom. So what is there that could be someone who could bring about fear in the personality of Imam Khomeini rahimahullah? But at the same time, very similar to how the Imam alayhim wassalam were, he was able to combine all of these different, at sometimes conflicting characteristics into that one being. There were many challenges that they faced. There were the assassinations, not only of high-ranking ulama, not only high-ranking diplomats and officials within the establishment of the Islamic Revolution, but also his own elder son, al-Shaheed Ayatollah al-Sayyid Mustafa al-Khomeini. There was the strong urge to want to divide the country, changing people against each other, giving different factions of the society different names, like being the Kurds or being the Arabs or being the Turks or everything else. There was in the 8-year war waged against Iran, where over 30 countries united to try to topple the Islamic Revolution. We had the clear history of the sanctions that existed against Iran, but yet Imam Khomeini became the voice of the oppressed. Against all these challenges, they were successfully able to continue on.
Thank you very much for listening to this episode of today's special under the title of Islamic Revolution of Iran. Inshallah, we continue this topic in these days that are the days of the month of Bahman, according to solar calendar, that is the month of the victory of Iran's revolution. Thank you very much, and fi amanillah.
Food for thought.
Everyone, let us listen to a thought-provoking saying from the Holy Prophet's seventh infallible successor, Imam Musa Kazim, peace be upon him. For the steadfast, a misfortune is only one, while it is twofold for the impatient. Thank you. take pieces of bread from me, and your soul will never be broken. And if I am your haven, you will never be homeless. One whose cloak is me will never be naked. And one whose resort is me will never be destitute. God is above all powers. IRIB English Radio.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Sheikh Rouhani on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وآله ثمانية إن أهينوا فلا يلوموا إلا أنفسهم الذاهب إلى مائدة لم يدع إليها. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that, O Ali, addressing Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam, saying that eight classes of people should blame no one but themselves if they are insulted. الذاهب إلى مائدة لم يدع إليها. They are, these eight classes of the people are as following. He who attend a banquet without invitation. And then says that والمتأمر على رب البيت. And والطالب الخير من أعدائه, says that he who behaves impiously upon the owner, he who seeks goodness from his enemies, وطالب الفضل من اللئام والداخل بين اثنين في سر لم يدخلاه فيه, he who actually seeks favors from the mean ones, he who intrudes himself in a secret matter of two persons. And then says, وَالْمُسْتَخِفُّ بِالسُّلْطَانِ وَالْجَالِسُ فَمَجْلِسٍ لَيْسَ لَهُ بِأَهْلٍ. The Holy Prophet says that he who mock at the rulers, he who sits himself in an improper place, and then says that وَالْمُقْبِلُ بِالْحَدِيثِ عَلَى مَنْ لَا يَسْمَعُ مِنْهِ, and he who speak to him who does not listen to him. And this is a very, very beautiful and practical kind of hadith that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that you should never actually go somewhere that you're not invited. And you should not, for example, mock the owner. And you should not, for example, seek goodness from your adu, from your enemy. And you should not seek, for example, let's say, virtues from the li'am, from the means, yeah? The mean kind of people, we can say, the bad people. And of course, you should not interfere with the secrets between the people, which is none of, for example, your business. And also, you should never sit in a gathering in a place where that place does not deserve for you to sit there. And you should not always talk to the people, particularly you should never speak to the people if they not listen, if they do not listen to you. So if these sort of things happen to you, then the Prophet says that it should not blame it on anyone else except you yourself, that you paved the ground for all these things that happened to you. That's why this is a very practical kind of teaching and hadith of the Holy Prophet ﷺ that we should apply in our lives, and we must be careful always about these sort of things not to happen to us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Sheikh Rouhani in the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد عودتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان. ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرج.
السلام عليكم Muslim brothers and sisters all over the world listening to IRB English Radio right now. Welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. I'm really glad to have Hassan, Hussein, Ali Nasser, and Fawad Haider, these brothers here, and I really welcome you all. Assalamu alaikum, Hussein. How are you?
Alaikum assalam, sir. How are you?
Alhamdulillah. Ali Nasser, how is it going?
Alhamdulillah, sir.
Alhamdulillah. Great. And great, okay. Hassan? How is it going?
Alhamdulillah, sir.
Alhamdulillah. Fawad Haider?
Alhamdulillah,
Alhamdulillah. So everyone is fine and healthy, energetic, brothers and sisters. Hope you are energetic too. Let's get started our today's class. Inshallah, today, again, the same as our previous sessions, we will have beautiful verses of the Quran Kareem. And this time on page 150. Yep.
Yes.
What surah and what ayah?
Surah Al-An'am. All
right. 162 and 163.
Kind of right at the end of the page.
Yeah. Yes.
So... So ayah that says قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي till the end, and the next ayah لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ. So brothers and sisters, if you're ready, together with Ali Nasir, Fawad, Haider, Hassan and Hussein, let's listen to the recitation. Ready?
Yes.
Let's go.
بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ وَبِذَلِكَ أُمِرْتُ وَأَنَا أَوَّلُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ.
So one of our brothers should have a recitation here. So it's Hassan. Hassan, read the first ayah. Fawad will read the second ayah.
Okay.
A'udhu billah
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
Good.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
Mm-hmm.
قل إن صلاتي ونسكي ومحياي ومماتي لله رب العالمين.
Thank you. That was good. Nice try. Nice try. Okay. Fawad Haider, next ayah.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لا شريك له وبذلك أمرت وأنا أول المسلمين.
أحسنت ما شاء الله ما شاء الله. Thank you. Did you find any mistakes in the recitation? Huh? Where was the mistake?
Like there was not that much mistakes. Only the pronunciation of some letters.
All right, what letter? In whose recitation? Fawad's or Hassan's?
Hassan's.
Hassan, okay. Hassan, listen.
Yeah, the pronunciation of letter Saad.
Saad. Sa. 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 Yes. Sa. 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 Okay. That's correct. He made a mistake here, yes? How did he pronounce?
Like, it pronounced like seen.
Seen. And also it was light one.
Yeah.
Inna salati. Sa. Sa. While it is? Salati. All right. Next one.
And on the letter Ha.
Ha. Okay. How did he pronounce it? He pronounced it.
Like Ha.
Ha. The soft
light one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he has to pronounce it?
Ha.
Ha.
Heavy one.
Heavily.
Yeah.
From the throat. Yes. Hardly.
Ha. Heavily.
Yeah.
Heavily.
Heavily. Yes. Okay. That's good. So, the rule says, what does the rule say, Hussein, in reading mamati? Why not mamati? Why mamati? Huh? Mahiyaya. Why not mahiyaya or mamati? What's the deal?
Because the Arabic pronunciation is like this.
Okay.
If you say mahiyaya, it's not Arabic pronunciation. The meaning
that's
changes.
Good.
It's like Persian pronunciation.
All right.
And also, but, meme is a light letter.
That's the exact reason. Meme is a light letter in Arabic. Whenever it comes with Aleph, it's a light letter.
Yeah.
Only 8 letters are heavy letters, okay?
Yeah.
Whenever they have Fatha or Aleph. Can you name them? Huh? Let's name them. First one.
Kha.
Kha.
Ra.
Ra is conditional.
Qaf.
Yeah.
Okay. Qaf. Huh?
Ta.
Ha. No. Mahya. Hana. Ha.
Ta.
Ta. Ta. Brother.
Ba.
La.
Qaf.
Sad, brother of Sad. Dad.
And Ayn.
Ayn. So, in order. Look, let's say them in order.
Yeah.
Kha.
Kha.
Ra. Then 4 letters right after one another. Sad, da, ta, da. Then Ayn. Then
Qaf.
Qaf is the last one.
Yes.
Okay, so these are the heavy letters. Whenever they have Alif, read them
heavily.
Okay. But sometimes the reciters in some kind of recitations, okay, they recite Ra also with an A sound.
Mm-hmm.
So is that wrong?
In recitation, okay, it might not be wrong because he recites it from a narration, based on a narration, okay? Narration, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's on a narration. I mean, he has his own skills, okay? There are some special skills, okay? That in what cases can you recite that way?
Yeah.
Right? Yes. قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Oh, Prophet, say, إِنَّ صَلَاتِي, indeed my prayer and my worship, وَمَحْيَايَ, and my life, وَمَمَاتِي, and my death, لِلَّهِ, all are for the sake of Allah. رَبِّ
الْعَالَمِينَ,
the Lord of all the worlds. Okay? So it means that whatever, this ayah tells us, whatever you do, huh? Whatever you do,
your intention should be for Allah.
Yeah, for the sake of Allah Almighty. If you pray, your intention must be for
Allah
Almighty. Look in wajib things, okay? In wajib actions. It is wajib upon you. But in mustahab actions or in mubah actions like eating, like walking, these things are not wajib that your intention has to be for Allah Almighty. But you can have it for Allah Almighty. If you intend, for example, Fawad wants to take a walk every morning. Huh?
Yes.
He can have this mindset. Intention should be this. Should know. You can have this intention that I walk every morning. I walk for the sake of Allah Almighty. And I try to do this to get healthy, to worship Allah better in a healthier way.
IRIB English Radio, in cooperation with Xavier International Schools, presents Let's Recite the Quran.
It's a question.
Yeah.
So if you do wajib acts, right?
Mm-hmm.
So does, if you forget to do the intention,
mm-hmm.
does the intention automatically apply on the act? For example, you're praying.
Mm-hmm.
You're praying, right? Of course, you're praying for Allah.
Yes.
So, but if you don't have that intention, like you forget.
Look,
like intention, you just do your wudu and just pray.
Look, intention means this. Clearly, we have to understand the meaning of intention. Intention means this. That when you start doing an action, if somebody asks you, what are you doing? If you can answer him, that means you have intention. So Allah Almighty says to the Prophet, O Prophet, say that in the salati, my prayers, my worship, my nusuki, my mahyaya, my life, mamati, my death, are all for the sake of Allah Almighty, the Lord of all the worlds. لا شريك له. There is no partner for him. وَبِذَلِكَ أُمِرْتُ. And this, for this, okay? I have been commanded to follow. وَبِذَلِكَ. This belief, okay? This belief I'm commanded to follow. This belief. وَأَنَا أَوَّلُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. And in this religion, I am the first of those who
believe
in Allah Almighty, submit to Allah Almighty. Okay. The tajweed points, some of the important ones we mentioned, and that will be all. We will go to the recitation. So, قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي صَلَاتِي. The pronunciation of the letters we mentioned, has Ali Nasir mentioned them. إِنَّ, what is that?
نُن مُشَدَّد.
نُن مُشَدَّد. What do you do with that?
Nasal sound.
Nasal sound.
And what was it? Pronounce.
Pronounce it.
For two counts.
Yeah, extended for two
extended,
counts.
Extended, yes.
So, lillahi. What is the word Allah? How do you pronounce it? Lillahi or lillahi?
Lillahi.
What's the deal? What's the point?
So, because the lam, which has the tashdeed in mm-hmm. the word Allah, or mm-hmm. here, lillah, mm-hmm. has a kasra before it.
Lillah. Has a kasra, good job.
Yes. So, whenever a kasra comes before this lam, the word will be pronounced lightly. I mean the lam
mm-hmm.
will be pronounced lightly.
Let's make it clear that the word lillahi, there are two words. Li means four.
Yeah.
Allah means Allah. Lillah, they have been merged because Hamzatul Wasl will be
skipped.
Ignored or skipped. Yeah, lillahi. So li is another word. Allah is another word. So li has a kasra. If the letter or the word just before Allah ends with a
Kasra.
How do you pronounce Hussein?
Lillah.
Lillahi. The word Allah is pronounced with an asa.
Yeah.
Lightly.
So the next rule? The other case?
When we have fatha and zamma.
Okay.
So we'll pronounce the word
heavily. That's all. Wallahi. Huwallahu. Yeah. Okay?
Yes.
That's all. وَبِذَلِكَ أُمِرْتُ وَأَنَا أَوَّلُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. The last point, and we'll finish it. Who can say this?
Sure.
أَنَا. The word أَنَا has, the word أَنَا has like small
a tiny circle.
Circle on the top.
Sure. Ooh. That indicates that do not extend or like pronounce it. Just go like أَنَا.
But it has a condition. What in condition? Case you...
Merge it.
No, in case you...
Stop.
continue.
In case you continue reading.
Yes.
وَأَنَا أَوَّلُ. In case you read the next words together.
Did I read it correct?
Yeah, you were incorrect. Because you said وَأَنَا أَوَّلُ. I wanted to mention this.
But yeah? If we stop, it will change to Alif Mad.
If you stop at that word. وَأَنَا.
Yeah.
But in case you continue, وَأَنَا أَوَّلُ. Ignore the Alif.
Yep.
That's a special type of sukun sign.
Yes.
Get ready to practice the recitation. That will be the last part of the class. Ready, everyone? Brothers and sisters?
Yes.
Ready?
Yes.
Recite with our brothers here. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
قل إن صلاتي ونسكي ومحياي ومماتي لله رب العالمين
قل إن صلاتي ونسكي ومحياي ومماتي لله رب العالمين
لا شريك له وبذلك أمرت وأنا أول المسلمين
لا شريك له وبذلك أمرت وأنا أول المسلمين
صدق الله العلي العظيم
صدق الله العلي العظيم
Thank you so much, brothers and sisters, for being with us. Thanks to IRB English Radio. Thanks to Sevier International Schools Network. That's all from us for today. See you in the next session. Stay with IRB English Radio. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadi wa alihi al-tahirin.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil farajahum.
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان
When your horse returns to Alcamp Riderless
أزور سيدي ومولاي ومعتمدي
The ocean of dua.
Al-Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam ziyaratan minni wa niyabatan an walidayya.
Why did you leave us to fend for ourselves?
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وآله الطاهرين In the name of Allah, the Most Beneficent, the Most Merciful. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Madarisi, and in this edition of The Ocean of Dua, we are trying to discuss and talk about the different aspects of Ziyarat Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, Ziyarat al-Ashura. So stay with us.
Brothers and sisters, as you were with us, we were discussing this excerpt of the Ziyarat al-Ashura. ولعن الله آل زياد وآل مروان ولعن الله بني أمية قاطبة ولعن الله من مرجانة ولعن الله عمر بن سعد ولعن الله شمرا ولعن الله أمة أسرجت وألجمت وتنقبت لقتالك. And may Allah distance from His mercy the community that laid the saddles of their horses, their reins, and took off to combat with you. In the previous episode, we thoroughly discussed the meaning of asrajat and the cases of it, wa aljamat, and we also mentioned the meaning of aljamat. We said that aljamat means that he placed the bridle of his mount in its mouth. And so the past tense means that we ask from the Almighty Allah to distance from His mercy the ummah who placed their mounts' bridles. But this verse continues, وَلَعْنَ اللَّهُ أُمَّةً أَسْرَجَتْ وَأَلْجَمَتْ وَتَنَقَّبَتْ لِقِتَالِكَ. Also, we ask the Almighty Allah to distance from His mercy the community who covered their faces with a veil. وَتَنَقَّبَتْ. This verb, تَنَقَّبَ, literally means that he placed a veil over his face. He covered his face. It comes from the word niqab, which means a veil in the Arabic language. Commenting on this verse under discussion, Allama Majlisi explains tanaqabat and says that لَعَلَّهُ كَانَ النِّقَابِ بَيْنَهُمْ مُتَعَارَفًا عِنْدَ الذَّهَابِ إِلَى الْحَرْبِ. Perhaps this is because the veil was a normal trend between them when going to war. Or rather, in all their journeys, to remain safe from their enemies recognizing them. Some scholars, however, speculate that the Kufis covered themselves with veils when going to fight against Imam Hussein alayhi salam because of their shame in breaking their oaths of allegiance to Imam Hussein alayhi salam. So that's why tanaqqaba, they covered their faces. Ummatan tanaqqabat. They were those people who covered their faces with a veil. Because earlier, they had written letters to Imam Hussein alayhi salam, inviting him, showing their support for him. But later, they broke their loyalty. Hence, they were ashamed in encountering Imam alayhi salam. So that's why they covered their heads and faces.
When people ask, I'm confused about which school is right or which madhab is right, go to Karbala. Look at Karbala, it clarifies it instantaneously. Anybody says, I'm confused, say, please go to Karbala and tell me what happened, why it happened, and what does it have to do with your religion. You will see it completely exemplifies, it clarifies, it takes all the blurs out instantaneously. SubhanAllah, that's the miracle of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Imam Hussein alayhi salam's main foundation of morality is do not allow tyranny, do not allow evil doing, do not allow indecency. Why is Imam like this? Because he knows Allah, he appreciates Him, he understands His dimensions. That's why we must love them so much. We must love them so much that don't let anybody else take us away from them. There should be no room in our thoughts. No matter who we admire in this world, no matter how great a person we look at, never move the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt out of the center of the heart. Never. They will know that their Khalifa lied to them because he told them they don't pray.
And if they see them praying on the battlefield, their hearts will change. So stop them from praying. Imagine how evil these people were. That's how much lies they had. And you cannot eradicate this lie at the level that we are talking about unless you give your blood for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Also, dear listeners, the past tense used in the verb تنقبت لقتالك, also added with ta, signifying the feminine gender affixed to it, refers to the community who did this. So this verse is literally rendered as may Allah distance from His mercy the ummah who placed veils over their faces. There is also another possibility while we read different versions of Ziyaratul Ashur. وَلَعَنَ اللَّهُ أُمَّةً تَنَكَّبَتْ لِقِتَالِكِ. Some scholars opine that actually the verb تَنَكَّبَتْ with قَاف rather than نُون is an interpolation of the verb تَنَكَّبَتْ with قَاف after نُون. This refers to placing of bows on shoulders. So, the verse literally means, we ask the Almighty Allah to distance from His mercy the community who placed their bows and quivers to combat with you. For example, when it is said, تَنَكَّبَ قَوْسَهُ, it means that he placed his bow on his shoulders. So, the past tense verb تَنَكَّبَتْ would mean, this ummah, placed their bows and quivers for arrows on their shoulders. This variable meaning, some believe, is in complete harmony with the previous verbs أسرجت and also ألجمت, because all these verbs, three verbs, refer to preparation for a war. That's why some believe that تنكبت is a better word than تنقبت in this part of Ziyaratul Ashura. Another noteworthy opinion in this part, which is possible, is that this verse is وَلَعَنَ اللَّهُ أُمَّةً تَهَيَّأَتْ لِقِتَالِكَ. May Allah distance from His mercy the community who got ready to combat with you. This possibility has been a small interpolation in the original text of تَنَقَّبَتْ, which means that the verb means تَهَيَّأَتْ means they got ready, they prepared themselves. One of the contemporary scholars, Sayyid Muhammad Jawad Shubairi, has tried to establish this view in one of his research papers. So he believes that this is تهيأت. They got ready to combat with you. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for staying with us in this episode. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
الذي صنعت من الرمح منبرا ظمآن والزمان بعينيك ممطرا نعم الأمير أنت حسين وقدوتي ساروا إليك قلبي وعقلي ودمعتي يا محيي الكرامة تبكيك كل عين لبيك يا إمامي لبيك يا حسين
بالروح بالدم لبيك يا حسين بالروح بالدم لبيك يا حسين
Congratulations to everyone on the occasion of 27th of Rajab, the Eid al-Mab'ath. which marks the formal appointment of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, for guidance of mankind by the Almighty God. We here at IRB English Radio congratulate all our Muslim listeners throughout the world on this most auspicious occasion.
If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio, in which we try to ask and answer some of the questions related to the Islamic laws based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. But before we embark on our episode, let's take a listen to a short biography. A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtada Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, we testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching makasas, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that.